mother, who had a marvelous testimony of God's grace in her life, she used to tell the story that she came home from church one Sunday, and she said to her mother, "Mom, why would God make Protestants anyway if they're all going to hell?" And so that's another group that is a little confused about the difference between culture and Christianity. In many ways, we're just as confused, because it wasn't that long after before I heard the nuns walking on the other side of the street referred to as magpies. It's easier to laugh at them when they got confused than about ourselves laughing. Where is biblical Christianity here as opposed to just Christendom in the big sense? When you come down to biblical Christianity, you find a God who loved us, who had a plan for us, who cares for us, who's willing to empower us, who wants us to be out there in His name and in His strength, who doesn't even give us grounds for being proud. All the things I can do if I'm obedient gives me no reason for boasting at all, as I used to say to my children and now say regularly to our students. Everything that God has given you is only grounds for humble faith and gratitude, and also for a recognition that I have accountability for it. I better use those gifts to honor and glorify the God who's done so much for me. So what? Here's a question to ask yourself all week. So what does this mean? What difference can we make? Well, there are several things that I've thought about. First of all, let me just say about the young people who come to Trinity, this is what we really want to challenge them with, too. I guess I should say this, too, because that's what I said in the first service, like this. What do we say to the parents who come? They want their children to come? They want to know whether we're a good school or not. I had this last Friday, a week ago Friday. We have a view day, so students come with their parents see the school. And so I say to the parents, "Now what is it that you want for your children?" It's very interesting if you let them answer for a little while, you know. Basically, they want a really good education. We've got to make sure that this school of Trinity is as good as the public institutions nearby. What they really mean, are they going to get the same kind of academic recognition and so forth? So we're very happy to point out, you know, the kind of recognition we have at Trinity. And it's not hard to do these days. At Trinity Western, we have to be better. We're like in a fishbowl. We're so unique in our Canadian context. So academically, they say, "Oh yeah, 89% of our faculty last year had a whole doctorate. We have the largest concentration of evangelical scholars in all of Canada, with maybe well over 100 doctorates on our campus. We have people that we choose because of their commitment to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if they hold 5 PhDs, but first of all, do they know Jesus Christ? Are they willing to be disciple makers? Do they have a sense of calling to come to this place? If not, they're in the wrong place." I mean, looking for people who hold the qualities of elders to be teachers at Trinity Western, they're only teaching. What is your area again, John? I mean, whether it's teaching engineering or science or whatever, why should they have to know? Because we are here as mentors, as people who are trying to get our young people to understand who God is and how He lives in us and how He wants to empower us so that they can be competent in the larger culture, so they have a platform from which to speak about the living Lord. So what do we want for our children? Let's not start with just a good education. Let's get to the nub of it. We want our children to come to an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that what you'd want for your kids? Everyone who comes, I want them to know. I said to the parents, the students after I finished, I said, "This is what Trinity Western stands for. This is what we want to happen. If this isn't your desire, please don't come." We say that regularly. We've grown 39 out of 41 years numerically. We're looking for the kind of people who want to know God. And secondly, we want our young people, we know that our parents, if they reflect it, want their young people to come to know themselves. Many people aren't enjoying work, their vocation, because somebody told them they should do that, or they got somewhere along the line, they thought that would be a good way to make a good living, but they haven't really known themselves. So so they've taken who they are as a reflection of what the larger culture tells them is good. Our young people try to be like the movie star, or the athlete, or the names that are raised, you know, as the successful people. They'd only watch a little longer and see the problems and the unhappiness among the so-called successful, they might think again. What we really want to know is, who am I from God's perspective? Know that, as we read in this chapter this morning, God loves us. He has set his love upon us. He cares for us. We are of great worth to him. The whole challenge we gave to the legal system in Canada, which took us through three court levels to the Supreme Court of Canada, was simply by-stepping what they were trying to force us into, some issue about sexual orientation, and rather to bring us a higher standard value that everybody could understand. Well, we pointed out, we as Christians at a Christian institution cannot discriminate. God does not discriminate. We, in fact, have to have an understanding as those who are created in the image of God, an understanding of the dignity of every human being. That's true Christian spirit. And when that's in place, everybody says, yeah, that's right. And then we come to a victory of 8-1. Absolutely unheard of. And that's a miracle from God. But it's on the basis of his biblical values that we move there. I know you prayed for us. You rejoice with us in the victory. With that out of the way, it just gives room for many other challenges because we're so unique. When you're a minority, minority of God's people, that's what happens. All right, so we're concerned then about knowing ourselves, to recognize who we are from God's perspective, the gifts he's given us, the opportunities that are there. What I'm finding more and more often, I had parents in Toronto say to me, oh, we're really concerned about our daughter. You know, she's very bright, and she's been in, medicine has been her intention for years, and now she's third year. And she's saying, Dad and Mom, I really feel that I'd like to go and spend a year in India with Mother Teresa, and I just want to. Plenty of young people are saying, what is God doing? How can I be part of it? It's so much better than starting on my own focus and then saying, God bless me in what I do. It's really saying, in view of who I am, and in view of who you've made me, and in view of your purpose in the world, how can I be available? And then the third thing you want for young people, I know, is that they'll have great fellowship with others. They'll know many, have many friends. Friends can make or break lives. All around you in this church, people around here are lonely. I guarantee it. If you're going to do a survey, I bet you'd find many people that couldn't name 10 friends that they had. And even if they do, they're probably listing some certain acquaintances that they're really not friends. We of God's people are so fortunate. Wherever we go, we can meet somebody and begin talking. And we are friends. Not on the deep levels yet, but we are friends because we have so much in common and someone in common. Isn't that a marvelous thing? You want your kids to have good friends who will be supportive. And the students that come out of Trinity Western and say, these are lifelong friends. Our son Dean, when he graduated, had a bunch of friends that were getting married in the summer. He was going to Denver and he's going here. I said, Dean, you can't afford all this. He just said, Dad, these are my friends. End of discussion. And I'm not making fun of that. I'll tell you that biblical friends and support, this is what the community of God is all about. We're caring friends. When the world system wants us to go off and be our own little thing and have great walls around our properties and stuff, and the bigger it is, the better you are, and the more lonely you are. God says, you have a giving heart. You've understood me. You will have the kind of friends who support you in doing my work and relating to the people with whom I work, whom you work. We don't need more official, sometimes, I'll be here careful what I say here. We don't need it as our top priority that more of us can work harder to support more specialists to go and do the work. What we need are God's people to catch on that God wants to work through us to be his voice in the world. Think of the story in Acts. I'll stop here. Sorry, though. Think of the story in Acts, this record of how God did it in the early church. And you know, it just happened. It was about as carefully planned as a prairie fire. Things started to go like this, you know. as they exalted Jesus Christ. Peter, the one who had been known for saying no and backing out and had been embarrassed, and Christ had to confront him, and he felt so terrible. Now, when filled with the Holy Spirit, he stands up in an adverse crowd. Actually, he was just filling out what Jesus had promised just before he left. He said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, the uttermost parts of the earth." They didn't even beg him to. "Would you please be my witnesses?" No, he just said, "You will be." When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. I find the Lord said that to me. He said it to a lot of you too, you know. I never could have guessed. I never dreamed. I never set big goals to be a university president. And certainly, I never would have guessed that one day, as is the case right now, I'd be named as the longest serving president in any Canadian university. You know, God can do these things when we allow Him to be the moving force. You come to know yourself, you come to have good friends, and then you're competent to act in the culture. We're really doing a disservice to our students if we turn them out and they can't really get jobs and all that sort of stuff. We got to be better. We talk about the Daniel strategy. You know, Daniel was competent. He rose to the top. In the second chapter of Daniel, you'll see he was able to name three of his friends to key positions as well. Talk about influencing. We've just opened up, you'll see in the little thing in your bulletins, the Laurentian Leadership Center of Ottawa. 16,000 square feet, a beautiful heritage building. Fantastic. We were just there for a week. People of Ottawa accepting us with open arms. Not because we're Christian, believe me, because this is the first institution, university, that's brought a leadership program to the city, and we have 9 students in the offices of members of Parliament of Canada. We have 4, just as partners, just to encourage you, we have 4 graduates of Trinity Western as members of Parliament in Canada, and just a little school. Just think what can happen in the next 10 years, now that we're right on their doorstep, putting students into their offices with the kind of intention of being competent, the best, but not because we're the best, but because we're God's appointed people here in this situation. Well, I've been running on here. I'm sorry about that. But you're my friends, and you haven't asked me for 15 years to be here, so I'm pleased to be here to report what God is doing, but also to challenge you. God is at work. He's called us. He's given us what it takes. So what? What does it mean to you? May God help us to be those who reflect His glory and who are involved in His purposes. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder. As you were talking, I couldn't help but think of the fact that, you know, I'm the product of a Christian college, not Trinity Western, but another Christian college. And I know the effect that it's had on me of doing just exactly what you were talking about, teaching me to take the skills that God had given me and ask the question, God, how do you want to use me in your plan, rather than asking it the other way around. I think that's the benefit of a good Christian education. Thank you for your work up there in Langley. And we pray for you and look forward to see how God is going to be using Trinity Western in the future. Let's stand together, and as a body of believers who are unified under the person of Jesus Christ together, let's sing the hymn, "The Solid Rock," and declare that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. fail. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Let's take that chorus again, and let's just read it out loud as a statement of our faith this morning. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen.